Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
The Knight Rider is here, brother.
He joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. I told Mike before you came on, I was like, Nathan Knight is coming on, our man. And he goes, hold on, wait a minute. We gotta see how he is. I said, he helped our team win last night. He's our man.
Well, now he's our guy. Now you are our dude, if you accept our dudeness.
Oh, no, for sure. I appreciate it. Means a lot.
Solomon Hill, down low, Nate Knight. He goes up and jams. He got it up over Jared Allen.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Big shout-out to Coach Nate McMillan for coming on today. He joined us earlier today. If you missed it, it's online at odyssey.com. Hawks head coach talking about Trae Young and calls, saying officiating is hard these days. The whole interview is online if you want to go check it out. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, talking about a variety of things. Masters, thanks to Damon Hack for coming on last hour from the Golf Channel to talk with us about the big win this weekend, and also our Braves, who come off of a weekend where they win 2 of 3 from the Phillies. And we appreciate all the input and all the text messages and tweets and all the things we're getting via social media when it comes to our team. They are back in action tonight against the Marlins, as we said. But it's funny that a small thing, and I say this because it's so early in the season, I just don't know if people project that way. I mean, me covering baseball, guys, all these games matter. And it doesn't seem like that when you're playing game 60
right,
and you got, 80 more to go. But the fact is they all matter. And when you get in a tight race, if this one comes back to bite us in some way, shape, or form, Braves fans are going to be PO'd.
Right. And guys are hitting us up on Twitch. Don't forget, you can watch us. Watch the show live at Twitch and 92.9 The Game. Some guys are saying that, and I agree with him. I said, look, if Dansby wants to say, hey, man, look, don't throw stuff on. We're all pissed off. You know, you say that. To say that you're embarrassed by Braves fans, I don't want to hear that. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sound like, we're making, like a Mad Dog car, like we're making a semantics argument here. You know what I mean? But
yeah. But
to me, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I'm a fan, and I'm hot over this, and okay, get it. We don't want to see anybody get hit with anything. I get that. But, Jimmy, you're embarrassed by it? Come on.
Yeah, I can't go back. This is a five-hour show, and I'd love to recreate what I said and what I thought 2 hours ago when I passionately went in on Dansby, who I absolutely love. And I say this because if you didn't know us and you didn't know the show and you didn't know I'm cool with him and his people and all of that, then you would just think that I'm popping off on Dansby. But I'm not. I have no issues with him telling us how he feels about one side of this, which was the umpires. And then he said, oh, by the way, the second part of that long soundbite, which was, hey, I want to tell you, this is what bothers me. Great. More of that, Dansby. I'd love to hear what bothers all these guys. That we don't get enough of that when these things happen. But I think we've got to, as a city and as Braves Nation and all the crap we've endured over the years, damn it, we care. We care. We care about you guys. We care about what happens to our team. We care about you guys winning and losing. So when you lose the way you lost last night, let us do what we do. It's been a year, Dansby, since we've been in the stands. We haven't been able to take this energy that we normally get an opportunity to go to these games, be in the stands, kick it with our friends, have a good time, win or lose. We haven't had that energy. It's been at home on computers and watching games and texting and tweeting. So when that comes out last night, let's just, okay, wish it would have went different,
right. But
let's just ride with that because that's not what we are. That doesn't define Braves Nation. It doesn't define how Braves fans act or how they feel. But in that moment, that was crap.
Yeah. I mean, guys are hot. And again, as we said, we're staying in our lane. But Carl, there were some fans here last night. This was a combination of the incompetence of Major League Baseball and also what they didn't like about Major League Baseball, in the All-Star game. I think there's a lot of emotions that spilled over at the time. But the number one issue here is you got another league in pro sports that can't use something that is easy to use. It's there. It's everyone, Carl. And what's so funny is you got major leaguers for other teams. You got guys on the Mets talking about this. You got guys on the Dodgers. Guys going, well, that's pretty effed up.
Well,
what happened there?
Everybody was talking about this. Last night, as I went to bed, I had to put my phone down because I was like, okay, I won't sleep because this is – and I went to bed, and I wake up, and I tweeted what I tweeted, and I feel the way I feel. Mm. Somebody needs to be fired. You can't accept this when you know it's wrong, and then you're going to allow that individual, whoever it was, these umpires in New York, these officials, to continue to make these mistakes to blow games. Nobody wants to be a part of that. So those guys in Major League Baseball, Mike, that you saw social media talking right about it, they know their team can be next.
I mean, just fix it. I mean, the NFL can't get it right. We said this. Arguably, the NBA, you could argue NBA, NHL, NFL, and then baseball. I mean, soccer is still a work in progress with the VAR because it still confuses everybody.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's and the worst part of this is, I said this to Carl earlier in the show, and Carl's right, we were hopping mad at two. You can't just, like, fake it again. But, you know, what are we, pro wrestling? Why did you spend your money to go to the ballpark? Or I spent, you know, time watching the game. I mean, for what? To just ad hoc umpire goes, no, he's out, but we'll stay safe because, you know, we're not going to overturn what the umpire in the field said. Over what? Some sense of loyalty to these schmucks on the field? Yes, I know Dansby. Hard work, difficult work with a $150 per diem and staying in hotels and traveling first class. Difficult to be an umpire. But, I mean, still, it's a bang-bang call. I'll give the ump that. You can't get them all right. Use the replay. That's what drives us nuts. Because now what? And Rob Manfred will go, well, we'll endeavor to do better at this. Where's Joe Torre? Man was a manager. Okay, Rob Manfred's an empty suit. He's another attorney. Where's Joe Torre on this? I mean, this is a guy who's, again, he's another just functionary bureaucrat. You know, I'm ashamed I was a fan of Joe Torre when I was a kid. Why don't you do something here? Because Manfred, I expect nothing from him. How about someone who knows the sport step up and say, we are going to fix this, and we're going to replay this game. If it has ramifications on the division, we'll come back and we'll pick this game up in the ninth inning. The way they did back in 81 with George Brett and the Yankees.
They're never going to do that. They didn't even want to stay on the phone with me today when I said, hey, Carl Duke's calling from Atlanta. I'm trying to talk to one of them.
They hung up on Nostradamus.
They hung up on me twice. And I said, oh, well, you know, but must be some kind of bad connection. Let me call again. Because Atlanta, I wanted to explain to you from their point of view, hey, what does MLB think about this? Nobody wants to talk about it. I'm not just talking about calling the office randomly.
Right.
These are people that I know in Major League Baseball's office.
Mm.
Nobody's talking about it. You know why? Because they screwed up.
I mean, all you can do is go at MLB on Twitter and social media. But, I mean, that, as you said, the bottom line is, Carl, you just feel powerless because you just got screwed over. And I hate to say it. We hate the Saints with every fiber of our being. But now you know what the Saints felt like with that Rams situation. Everybody knows. Now, they still had football to play, and there was overtime. But still, everybody and their uncle knew what happened there.
Yeah, and here's the kicker, guys. You guys, I know some of you right now driving around, however you're accessing the show on Odyssey.com, whether it's a smart speaker at home, you're on your computer, and you're going, man, Dukes and Bell, dude, calm down. What if that was game 7?
Right.
What if that was the game we needed at the end of the season to get into the playoffs? It doesn't matter until it does.
Oh, and by the way, if you think this was the Braves at Citi Field, or this was the Braves at Philadelphia, you think those genteel, more erudite baseball fans would have responded the same way? Yeah, of course they would have. Come on. They would have been nuts, Carl. They would have made what we did look like nothing, like picking up trash at the park. Not the ballpark, but the park.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff there. All we can do is hope that they move forward and get it right. But last night was inexcusable. And if you've got 9 angles in which you can see this, again, I said this today. I don't know what this damn official was doing. If they were playing a game on their phone, if they were on Tinder, I don't know what the hell was going on that they couldn't analyze that like me, right, an average Joe, and go, dude, he didn't touch the plate. Okay, that's he's out. It's that simple. And you watch it from all these different cameras, and then you call back and go, he's safe. What? Did you have money on the game?
Well, but the other thing is with the Braves, and we just not talking about the 2012 infield fly rule nonsense, but Carl, remember when Ozzie Albies was late tagging at third up in Philly?
Yes.
The catcher was blocking the plate. Major League Baseball's got rules that the umps don't even know how to enforce because you're supposed to give a path to the plate, right? It's supposed to be – we got hosed on that one.
Yes, and then, because you can't run the, right. the catcher over anymore.
In this case, there was a path, and you could go – I mean, it just – it drives me crazy, the inconsistencies. But then ultimately, as we said, if this does come back – and again, it's a long way to go, and it's a long season, and hopefully Marcelo Ozuna will start raking and everybody else, and Smiley will start not blowing three-run leads. But this one really touched a nerve with Braves fans.
And it should have. Let's get to the top three. Well, let's start with our Hawks, man. They win shorthanded yesterday. If you missed it, boy, Bogey, great game. I mean, it was one of those situations where you go, all right, are they going to be able to win without basically seven guys that they can rely on? Some of these guys have been out. We know, like Chris Dunn, DeAndre Hunter, but no Trey, no John Collins. And all of a sudden, man, the Hawks are able to come back and win on Sunday. 105-101, Bogey had 32. He talked about Clint Capella.
Right after the game against Memphis, you know, I told him, like, you saw what happened. Like, we couldn't stop him, like, in the paint. We couldn't get that one block like he had against Zion, against New Orleans.
At 20.
Like, these guys were tough to guard, too. But, you know, he made that, like, stop game changer, what I call.
Good job, Bogdan. He was 50% from three-point last night, 32 points. Clint Capella just continues to do what he does. Yes, he did get dunked on last night. We talked about that earlier.
In our next segment, I want to address that too, because guys are hitting me up. Oh, if that was the Hawks, you'd be acting another way. I want to address that dunk, and I will here in 10 minutes.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, the good news is, guys, if you didn't see, because most of us were getting ready to watch the Masters. I was watching a little bit, came back to it, watched the whole thing again last night. They blew a 17-point lead. They were down 8, and they came back and won it. We spoke with Coach Nate. It's online at odyssey.com. That's a hell of a win when you're losing 7 players, guys. No Trey, no Gallinari. We already talked about Collins is out. Don't have DeAndre Hunter. Still don't have Cam. And that's a team we have to beat to leapfrog to lock in that 4th seed. That's a huge win yesterday in Charlotte.
Top 3 at 6 brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company's Hoptropolis IPA. It's an American IPA with tropical fruit, floral, citrus, stone hop, aromatics, Hoptropolis IPA, tropical allure, and juicy hop bliss. Let's hear from Snit on the controversial play that happened with the Braves and the Phillies last night.
That's why. I mean, I saw we had an angle that I saw he didn't have, because I wondered till I saw a certain angle, and I was confirmed my what I thought, that he didn't touch the plate.
He didn't. Snit, you were right. Meanwhile, Mike, all day we've been talking about the win. Hideki Matsuyama winning his first Masters, the first Japanese-born player to win the Masters. Here's what he said through his interpreter.
Up until now, we haven't had a major champion in Japan. And maybe a lot of golfers or younger golfers, too, thought, well, maybe that's an impossibility. But with me doing it, hopefully that will set an example for them that it is possible.
I mean, it was just great. Again, I was pulling for the guy, and you kind of got a little bit of a lump in your throat when he gets the bogey on 12, and then obviously he gets the bogey. I mean, when he hits it over the peninsula on 15, and oh, man, and we played the Japanese radio network call because they were like, because I had $10 on it. I won $500. I'm not sure how much Squid Billy won. But, hey, man. You felt for him. And then, of course, feeling for Xander Schauffele, Carl, because you could have left 16 with a one-point lead or dead even. But he blows it. He doesn't get the shot he needs after putting 4 birdies in a row together and then gacks it on 16. And after that, it was kind of a sloppy cakewalk to the finish.
These Masters, these majors are just, they're pressure cookers, man. And you saw it firsthand with what happened yesterday, even though, you know, he was able to hold on. I agree. The guys that were chasing him, you know, you thought, hey, Shoffley's going to come. He birdied 4 holes. You're going, this is going to happen. And then one mistake, Mike, and then guys just can't recover. So it was.
Oh, Cook.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a whole montage of all our different international language play-by-play calls.
He is going to be, and he already is, a hero in Japan, Mike. I mean, seriously.
Just somebody needed to send a plane for the poor guy. He had to go from Augusta to Atlanta to Chicago to get back to Tokyo to see his wife and kids. But anyway, there was a great photo of him with a green jacket over his arm going through Hartsfield-Jackson, Carl, earlier today.
Hey, if you guys think that Trae Young is officiated differently, I want you to stay right there. You'll hear what Nate McMillan had to say about that specific
today.
Well, there's a couple of them. One has to do with our Braves. Another one, I just want to address this whole notion of somebody getting dunked on for just a minute with our Hawks. Hawks win, and Mike talked about, you know, the struggle that was yesterday, 105-101. They come back, bogey big night, Capella 20-15. But the highlight from this game, which tends to get the attention, not the fact that we won,
right,
was Miles Bridges dunking over Capella. Now, I want to play this for you because, again, this is a lot of sizzle. It wasn't the stake. The stake was, you know what, we won, and we came back with seven guys out of the rotation that normally we play and were able to get a win against a team that we're fighting for in the Eastern Conference. Big deal. I'm always going to take the dub. But this is what it sounded like on their radio network.
Cody Zeller, offensive rebound. Bridges! Oh, my God!
Oh, what?
A thunderbolt from Bridges!
Oh, my word!
The filthiest of the filthy!
Now, again, if you're a producer on the four-letter network, yes, this is going to be an easy layup, or in this case, a dunk. I mean, I don't want to sound like my dad on this, but if you watch the game, yes, the dunk, and it was an amazing dunk. Even Neek was like, oh, wow, that was something special.
Right, a thunderbolt! Whoa! Bridges.
All right, now, that jackleg over that pilky announcer is in Charlotte. If you had followed the game, that was a 99-94 car lead for the Hornets at that point, and then we come down and Bogdanovich just drains a three-pointer, which is more than two, which is one more than a dunk.
Yes.
And then Capella makes an alley-oop. Oh, now it's tied. And then they make a layup, and then, oh, Clint Capella makes a two-point shot. Oh, and then they start kicking it and booting it out of bounds, and they lose all poise, and we win the game. But, you know, for guys at the barbershop or guys at ESPN, to your point, Bridges' dunk was the story.
So, real quick, I get it, and I've been excited about dunks, you know, and I still do get somewhat excited depending on, you know, the situation. And the guy hit me up. He's like, if that was the Hawks, you'd be losing your mind. Here's the deal, though. Capella's a shot blocker. Every shot blocker in this league, Mourning, Mutombo, Ewing, Olajuwon, Robinson, you want me to go on? Shaq.
Right.
All rim protectors have gotten dunked on. It's just a part of the job. It didn't take away from their greatness. It didn't take away from how good they were or what they meant to their team. So I'm just putting this in perspective. Yes, it was a nice dunk. It'll go down, and we'll watch it down the road, and that's cool. But I'm all about the Hawks winning right now. I don't care about this dunk. And so, you know, it's almost like we're 15 again, Mike. Oh, my God! And I get it. You know, he dunked. If you hoop long enough in the NBA, ask him, because I have. All of those guys get dunked on. Magic, Bird, they all had it happen to them. So at the end of the day, for me, I'm just like, okay, that was a nice dunk. But they didn't win. And to me, that's the bigger thing. So I'll take the dub over the big dunk any day. If that was Capella dunking on him and we lost, I'd be like, nice dunk, but we lost.
But yeah, it's funny. I want to give a shout. I was talking about this today at the gym. Give a shout out to Dave, who's also in local law enforcement. He went to a historically black college too, by the way. But we were joking around about it, and I said, you know, it's the ultimate white man can't jump, right? I mean, they lost the game, but everyone's going to be talking about Bridges. Oh, he looks so pretty, you know, because that dunk was unbelievable. And by the way, not that I'm going to get on Clint. Well, maybe I will next time we talk to Clint about this. He did dap up with Bridges after the game. Like, hey, you got me.
No, because that's what guys do. It's the same thing Mutombo did when Jordan finally got him.
You got me.
I mean, it's what happens. Here's the other part of this. Bridges, because I know people don't follow these guys, and he's been doing this since AAU.
Right.
He's always had hops. So at 15, he was dunking on guys like this, Mike. We didn't know because you didn't see him in the NBA. For guys in the NBA that have played with each other and they know, you know who's got hops. Guys knew Vince Carter could jump over them before he got to the NBA. Bridges! So these things happen.
All right, now, again, I will say, yes, it was a thunderous dunk. But again, as we said during the very weak slam dunk competition in the All-Star game, there's only so many ways one can dunk. I also give credit, by the way, to Capella.
Oh, there's nothing that beats a real-life defender trying to block it.
But I give credit because, as we said, we've seen guys, not naming names, take some Olays and bow out. Capella came for the contact. He came for, yes, he got posterized, but he was there. He wasn't doing this. Does that mean how Carl, some guys do like the side saddle thing? You know, like, oh,
yeah. Oh, they turn. Yes. They don't want to be in the picture.
So, and I said to Carl earlier, you mentioned Dikembe with Michael. Years ago when Dikembe was here, and they were, I told Carl the story, they were making Phillips Arena at the time, now State Farm. And they were playing at Georgia Tech, and it was then the Alexander Memorial. And we were sitting baseline, and the story goes, as it was told to me, I don't know if it was Steve Smith told us on the radio, but they were telling Dikembe, don't try to challenge. Let him just let Vince Carter come in. And Dikembe was like, not in my house. And whammy, and Vince Carter got up, and I mean, yeah, his knees were over Dikembe's shoulders. It was crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm with you. It is a dramatic moment in a game. It's everything the four-letter network lives for, but then we came back with a three, and then we won the game. A crucial game for an opponent, which we're trying to get past, and we put in the rear view for that fourth seed. And
oh, my God! I would feel different, okay? I would feel different if that dunk happened and it catapulted them to a win. Right. I would feel differently. Because if that dunk happened, you know, I don't know, 50 seconds, 30 seconds left in the game, tie game, boom, and then they come back down, score, boom, and then they win. You go, man, that dunk, that was the – but it didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just one moment that is going to get lost at the end of the day because you didn't win. All right, that's where I'm at. Maybe you think differently because I know guys right. go crazy over these things, man, and you're right. My friends are like, oh, you tell Capella next time you talk to him. I'm like, I'm not telling Capella anything because he's a rim protector. This is what this guy does. He's right. so damn good at it, but you're going to get dunked on every now and then.
But it is funny, though, because, you know, it's just so Atlanta. We win a game. I just gave you how crucial this win was. We're completely decimated. But that's too many things to have an anchor talk about on SportsCenter.
You know,
I mean, everybody out except for literally Lou Williams and Capella last night, okay, and Herter. You know, and it's just you're never going to get it. It's just instant reaction. It's simple. It's easy. And there it is.
I mean,
if there was play-by-play for the Avengers Endgame going against Thanos, I don't think an announcer would be that hyped.
Dude, a thunderbolt from Bridges! I think this guy peed himself, man.
I really think he did. Thunderbolt from Bridges! I can't do the hand gesture because we're on Twitch. I got to be careful.
I really do. I think a little pee came out.
Oh, my goodness! He's just disintegrated Clint Capella to subatomic matter! Oh,
my God!
Meanwhile, as we said, and by the way, you know what the best part is? Lonzo is at which ball? I always get my balls confused. Hey, now, up there in Charlotte, that ball was sitting there. Hey, by the way, he's got like this eagle pendant thing around his neck. It looks utterly ridiculous. I was like, what are you wearing?
I didn't even see it. Was it bad?
It's Mello ball, right? Mello up there. Yeah. Lonzo's in New Orleans. But anyway, so Mello's in street clothes. He's not playing. And he's got like this thing. It looks like a hood ornament on a Mack truck. And he's like, and they're going, whoo, you know, and the obligatory, you know how the bench goes up, whoo, whoo, whoo. And then what is Bogdanovich just comes over, boom. I hit 3-point shot. One more point, then you're dunk. Screw you, Charlotte.
Bridges! It doesn't matter. All right, real quick, before we get to our game winner, the other story, obviously, is Braves. And tonight...
Well, you're not going to give me the NHL Marlins. Trade deadline? You're not going to throw me the big moves the Bruins made today?
No. But it is the Marlins tonight. They start a 1-2-3-game series against the Marlins. Actually four. This will go through Thursday before they head to Chicago on Friday. But Yanoa's on the hill. These bullpen starts, he's been really good.
Right.
And so hopefully he carries his load, you know, his weight tonight and is able to get through 5-6 innings and we'll be in pretty good shape. I just like the way the bats are working, Mike, right now with the Braves.
You're worried about Ozuna still? Or you just figure that's going to happen at some point?
Boy, well, here's the deal. If we go through this series and it don't click, now you're talking about three series.
Right. Four games Phillies. With the team that took us to the mattresses last year, and then they've been struggling right now, to your point. But I tell you what, I also don't like the fact there's Braves fans. Again, I guess these Braves fans never want the Braves to do anything but just bring people up from the farm system and never trade or never sign anyone. But those Braves fans who didn't want Marcelo Ozuna, and now we're going, ha-ha! I go, what? He threw, yes, he does have a noodle arm, but he got the ball to home plate, and by everyone's guesstimation, the player was out. Bomb was out at home plate, okay? But teams are running on Marcelo Ozuna. You saw it last night. I'm more mad. Carl, I know you kind of like on it, but I'm more mad at Drew Smyly for not being able to hold leads for the second game in a row.
Yeah, I know. No, I can't, you know, poo-poo that yet. I need to see more evidence, Mike. I'm going to give him a couple more starts and see where this goes. But I understand. I can't just say two starts into the season, you know, he's given up a couple of leads because he could get on a roll here where all of a sudden he's pitching well enough and taking us deep in the games that it doesn't become an issue. But the good news is for him and us, the offense has picked him up. I mean, even when we've been out, we've been back in it. We're out, and we've been back in it. So that's the thing, you know. And by the way, last night with the Ozuna play, it didn't matter who was out there. They were going to run. It was tie game.
Right.
It was a tie game. That was a baseball play that's going to happen.
And by the way, you know what the
10 out of 10 times.
Absolutely. And the worst part last night, the umps screw us over. Major League Baseball screws us over. And I've got to listen to Matt Viskersian and A-Rod. That's like the worst. It's like a trifecta.
Yeah.
Well, that's
my God! Yeah. Now, you know what? Yeah, I would say it that way for A-Rod because I was like, come on, A-Rod.
Dude.
Oh.
Matt Viskersian, let me just get some stats here that have nothing to do with anything, but I researched them, and by God, I'm going to work them into the broadcast, Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, A-Rod, I swear. That's all when right. You really wanted to get Frenchie and, you know, or Glavin or you know, Chip's take on that, and I have to listen to those guys.
This is news today, and we haven't really talked about it or focused on it. We'll see where it goes, but Minnesota's all their teams, MLB, Twins, T-Wolves, NBA, their NHL team have all postponed games in the wake of a shooting of a black man in Minneapolis. This happened over the weekend. Civil unrest. And so I think there is a curfew tonight there. Obviously, you guys know if you keep up with what's going on, the George Floyd trial is happening. So the Minnesota Wild follow suit today after the T-Wolves and the Twins. They were supposed to play the Red Sox. That was scheduled to start at 1:10 this afternoon. Postpones out of concern for safety of fans and players in wake of a fatal police shooting in a nearby Minneapolis suburb. So we're watching that and seeing where it goes. But again, we said this earlier, sports being affected by what's going on in the real world, and we hadn't seen anything like this since 2020. But these teams are responding this way, and we're just keeping an eye out on it. All right, Mike, let's get to tonight's game winner.
All right, man. Our engineer, Chris, says, worst blown calls in sports history. The worst blown calls in sports history. Was it Denkinger with the Cardinals and the Royals at first base?
Ooh, yeah, man. There's a lot.
There's a bunch. There's a bunch out there. 404-741-0929. The worst blown call in the history of sports, or your team. That's our game winner tonight, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, now watermelon and lime. Available to stores everywhere.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, the call that really hosed your team. The worst call in sports, as we said, as much as we hate the Saints. And tomorrow, Carl and Guy Talk, we're going to talk about who's been cast to play Sean Payton in the movie about Bounty Gate. That'll be coming up on tomorrow's Dukes and Bell. But as much as we hate the Saints... And the Saints still had to play more football, finish the game, then go to overtime. Everybody knew that call was blown. Pass interference, it was as blatant as it could be in the NFL. Of course, the NFL is about as ill-conceived as the Major League Baseball when it comes to getting things right with replay. So that's probably one that stands out in my mind a lot. This thing is so fresh right now for Braves fans that are hot. What's the one right at the top of your head that'd be the worst one? Worst blown call?
It wasn't they're not my teams. But in having conversations with guys like Charles Woodson, the Tuck rule might change the trajectory of the Patriots.
Oh.
If that's not called,
right.
I'm willing to say that they're going to say now, because he won 7, they would have won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't know if they would have gone on the run that they did. That could have completely changed the direction of both franchises. And people forget, in 2001, right, that's the AFC Divisional playoffs, they go on to win it. For the rest of the decade, the Raiders were terrible.
The Raiders, you guys got to remember, by the time they got to the Super Bowl, everybody was kind of much done. Remember, they had the Tuck rule, then 1 year Siragusa fell on Rich Gannon.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And then the Ravens go to the Super Bowl. So basically, the Raiders had a team that was Super Bowl quality for 3 years. And they by the time they got there, they got steamrolled by the Bucks. They were totally outmanned in that one.
But I would say the Tuck rule was, it changed everything. And even to this day, that rule, you know, plays in the NFL.
The one that, I mean, it didn't really come to anything, but it just drove you so crazy. Remember in Seattle when Julio didn't get the pass interference? Remember Matt throws the bomb that would have set up the field goal on the road a couple years ago?
Seattle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and the ref just swallowed his whistle and his flag. Oh. It was like, are you kidding me? All right, there's a couple. We laid the table. Let's see what you guys got. Hey, man, tonight's game winner. What you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, let me tell you something, baby. There was one time the Rock and Roll Express was wrestling the Midnight Express. and the referee got knocked down, and the Rock and Roll Express clearly pinned him. 1, 2, 3, and the referee come out of the back and gave it to the Midnight Express. Total screw job.
John Chuckery is waving his arms in support of this statement. He is in the bullpen. Chuckery is with you at 1900 tonight right here on 92.9. I would argue that Dusty beat Harley Race in the last tango in Tampa, but that's me. Hey, man, you're on the radio, brother. What you got for us? The worst call in sports.
Hey, man.
What's going on? Yeah, I think I got another Seattle one, but it was that, I think it was a Monday night game when they went against Green Bay, and the real referees wasn't there. And one referee called a touchdown, and the other one called a touchback.
On the Hail Mary.
And he went to the replay, and they still got it wrong?
Yep.
So that's the one stand out to me.
That was the one where they didn't really have the best referees ready to go at that point. They hadn't hired the best of the best of the best from college.
They hadn't come back, yeah.
And so they threw in some guys that were literally high school and JUCO and smaller college. Yeah, that was bad. That was terrible, matter of fact.
Was that, Mike, is that the Aaron Rodgers pass? Okay.
Right? It was. I'm trying to forget who got screwed. Seattle got screwed or Green Bay got screwed. It's all I remember was a blown call in the end zone. Chris is looking it up. That's why we've got producers. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
Hey, man.
Worst blown call in history in your estimation?
Hey, man. Y'all know it had to be when Dwight Clark caught that ball in the corner on Everson Wall. Y'all know he had one foot out of bounds, and if he didn't, and if he didn't, he should have. But I changed from the Cowboys when Jerry came along. I became a Falcon fan.
All right. Some guys have already hit us up on the text line saying Eric Gregg's strike zone in 97 against the Braves.
Was it Hernandez?
Levon Hernandez?
That's good, yes.
And I know McGriff got rung up on some stuff that was like a foot outside. That was the 97.
Was that his 20 strikeout game?
No, that was the NLCS. The Marlins were going to win. That was Game 5. Yeah, 97. I was in Florida for that one. I had Marlins. Don't laugh. I was a Marlins fan. Don't judge me. I just like live sports fans. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the worst blown call?
Hey, man. Well, I got the 2016 JT Barrett was short. And if he was never short, Jim Harbaugh wouldn't be on the collar that he's on right now.
What?
You following that one, Chris? Chris is going to jump
in. He's talking about Ohio State, Michigan from like, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And
when he was short of the goal line.
Gotcha.
When they were wearing the throwbacks and he was short of the goal line.
That's fair. Yeah.
There you go. That's why we have a team. It's a team. Team. Part of a team. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the biggest blown call?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, man.
I'm still salty about that big blockhead headbutting champion, Kent Herbeck, pulling Gann off the
base. Tell me about it. That's obvious now. I mean, you watch the replay of that. I mean, how do they not call again? Umpires, Carl, it's the human element.
I know, man. It sucks.
I'm surprised nobody said this one yet. 2014 Packers Cowboys. Three words. Oh. Dez caught it.
Oh, yeah. He did catch it.
Oh, that blew my mind. And again, I got no skin in that game, but I just thought that was the most ridiculous. And this is where we get into it. When Calvin Johnson went to the ground with one hand, it's almost like you got to catch the ball, roll around, do two somersaults, and come up with the ref going, ta-da, with a Roman candle sticking out of your butt. I mean, I don't know what the NFL's. The catch thing is, this is when the NFL got too verbose, Carl, when it takes the ref 5 sentences to explain what happened.
I know. You're right about that. Dez caught it. Hmm. I forgot about that one. Ooh, good call, Chris.
Nobody has mentioned yet, and I just got a text from a buddy of mine who is a big, big college football fan, saying, hey, man, what about the Colorado Buffalo 5 downs? Your boy Cordell against Missouri.
Yeah, they got an opportunity.
The dude's team got screwed. The dude played defensive end for Missouri.
They went on to play for a national championship. Hey, that's a huge call, man. Huge. Right.
Hey,
the refs got the downs wrong.
Unbelievable. You're on the radio, brother. What do you got for the worst call blown in sports history?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I know how big a hockey fan you guys are, but in 1999 Stanley Cup Finals, third overtime, Brett Hull had a skate that was in the crease, and he scored.
Yes.
And I think they ended up winning the cup that night. And they changed the rule either the next year or several years later.
He's right. Dallas, was it Buffalo?
Yes.
Yeah, Sabres. Buffalo got screwed. Buffalo got screwed in that
one.
Good call. I remember that. Remember Barry Melrose talking to us about that. Good pull.
And you know what? That's what I was talking about, like with the Tuck rule. When you have plays that affect the entire league like that, where the next year they go, oh, we got to change the rule. That can't never happen again. You know it's controversial.
Hey, man. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the worst call in sports history? We think we just saw one last night at the ballpark. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Is that your little man?
Oh, my God. It used to be a different sound when it came on. Someone already took mine because I've been a Packers fan since I was 7. But what made it even worse in that Monday night game against, you know, Golden Tate is the one that got the quote-unquote touchback.
Right.
Well, what made it even worse is that Green Bay had already left to go to the locker room and then had to come back for this extra point because it was no time left. And that's what made it even worse. But that's the worst phone call from me.
Good job. And discipline those children. We need quiet in the background next time, Carl. Hey, man, you're on the radio. You got the final word, the worst blown call in the history of sports.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, how about 1991? New York Knicks versus Chicago Bulls. Charles Smith, I'm still having nightmares. The guy got fouled by five times.
Charles Smith missed like four layups.
You got to go hard to the basket. Charles Smith was too esoteric with his effort, Carl.
Yeah, he missed like four layups.
You got to come heavy, man.
Jerry says UGA Jasper Sands fumble, non-fumble.
Oh, Georgia Tech. Oh, my God. That's the one where George Gotsi was holding the ball up and they missed the field goal and they had a second shot at it. Great call. Yeah, Jasper. It literally, Carl, you know, nowadays they blow the whistle. Jasper was in like the scrum, and it was like 1001, 1002. Yeah. So you're a Tech fan, you still laugh at that. Still drives dog fans bananas.
Jerry, good call. That's a good pull. Hey, man, today's show protected by Mimecast. Nearly 40,000 organizations trust Mimecast to keep them safe from phishing, business email compromise, and the risk of ransomware. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. This came from Tim earlier today, and I kept it because I wanted to read it to you guys. He said, guys, I do not understand why the officials in New York don't have backups for those officials. Meaning, when the replay went to New York last night, why was it just this one official? Are there other officials involved in this decision-making process? Meaning, checks and balances. Why is it just one guy making this decision? Why shouldn't it be two or three guys looking at this, and then they all have to agree? Therefore, if somebody misses it, it doesn't get missed by the other officials. I thought it's a great point, Mike. You know, we put this on one guy, like I said, I don't know what he was doing, sitting there and reviewing this. That's the redundancy that baseball needs to not get these calls wrong.
Right. I'm with you. No, man, it drives me crazy. We all know what needs to be done. It's not that complicated. That's the thing. It's all there. Why can't somebody just come in? Where is that? You know, the voice of God, not the hand of God. That's another blown call. But where is somebody here with the power? Same thing in the NFL. You see it, you know it, but they still get it wrong.
Hey, man, let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat.
Thanks to Jason Longshore. Tomorrow, Atlanta United, second leg of CONCACAF. Can they advance? We'll be talking about it. Thanks to Jason today. His interview's on Odyssey.com, along with Coach Nate McMillan, and also our man Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. Great job on all those interviews, however you're accessing the show. Thank you so much. John Chuckery's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Chris, great job as always. And Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike got his hands on some watermelon ale. I did as well. I will tweet out those pictures today because I went to the store to get it, and they were psyched about having it, and we hope you guys get your hands on some as well. We'll continue to tell you where you can find it, and wherever you're shopping, make sure you tell them that you want to get Hey Man Ale, Watermelon Lime, and they'll order it for you, okay? With that said, Mike Bell, clear your throat!
Julian Edelman announcing his retirement today, failed his physical with the Patriots, decided he was going to pack it in, says it was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family. Guy's an amazing story, Carl. I mean, we always joke around about the plucky white receiver that the Patriots always seem to come up with. You know, whether it was Wes Welker who begot Edelman, who begot the latest. But Edelman made plays, and the guy was scrappy and tough, and I've always liked the way he carried himself. And you know what? If you go back and look at Super Bowl 51, we always talk about this missed block or this play or the holding penalty. One of the crucial plays in Super Bowl 51 is Edelman's amazing catch when Keanu Neal tips the ball and he comes up with the ball between three Falcons to keep them alive when they were down 8 on their tying touchdown drive. He was, a real drag in that one against us and the same for a lot of teams in the NFL. Julian Edelman, nice career.
He's the real deal. Evander Holyfield. But I don't want to see him at 58. When Tyson and Holyfield fought the first time, guys, it was 1996. Pop quiz, genius. What were you doing in 1996? What were you doing in 97 when Tyson bit his ear? Now Holyfield's headed back to the ring to fight Tyson's last opponent, a guy named Kevin McBride, on June 5th.
Don't do it, champ.
What are you doing, Evander? We love you. We love that you represent the state of Georgia and Atlanta. But Playboy, it's time to sit down. If you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
you've got tickets to watch Evander fight a kangaroo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.